Well, this morning, before we get started, I just wanted to say, what a wonderful worship today. Pete and Carrie, thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. And you guys were tuning into, I believe, where God is taking us in this week, in this time of prayer and fasting. We're coming at this at a very spiritual level this week. And the Lord's been reminding us, as we've been preparing to come into this week, that it's not people that we're facing. It's not the left and the right. It's not, you know, pointing fingers at one another as far as what's causing division and strife and everything else in this land. It is a spiritual battle that we are facing right now. And we, as the people of God, are welcomed by God into the attack on this spiritual level. So if you're feeling like you're being flat-footed or you're back on your heels right now, stop. Remember who you are. Here's Mufasa. Remember who you are. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. He has called you and he has appointed you to this time and this season. And we have a responsibility before him to join him in the attack that he is making right now against the spiritual armies of darkness that are coming against this land and against this world right now. And they've targeted us as Christians because they want to keep us flat-footed, back on our heels, and off the attack. But God's calling us to a new place. Think about the trajectory we have been on in this season of prayer and fasting, this 40 days. We've been repenting. We've been returning to the Lord. We just this last week have been focusing on oneness in Christ, remembering who we are in him. And this week he's bringing us into a place of saying, no, we're coming against specific spiritual forces. God is doing something right now, folks, not just here at OFH. We are partnering with what he is doing in the body of Christ in the world and in this nation, and I'm excited for what he has for us this week. So, Pastor Steve, I'm going to ask you to come on forward. Please rise if you can, and welcome Pastor Steve Coy to the platform.
Thank you, man. Good morning. I want to welcome you all who are here in present, and those of you who are online. I know Donna, Lindsay, Jackie, and some others who are watching online want to welcome you here today. I think I'm catching a little wind with this. If I cover it. It's all good. Now make sure my notes don't fly all over. And have that set up. All right. Well, I made a huge mistake this morning. I clicked on the news. It was awful. Don't you just love watching or reading the news right now? Isn't it full of hope and truth and love and joy? And I'm amazed at how you can open one news site and you read all these different stories, and you open another news site and it's like they're covering two different... It's like, are you guys even covering the same topics? It's like, are you guys watching the same events going on? Because it doesn't seem that way. Well, today we want to take a look at behind the chaos that is going on and seeing it, what we can do about it. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence this morning. We ask that you would just guide us and be with us as we seek your face this morning. As we seek your holiness, your wisdom, your hope, your peace, your love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to share with you a story that I shared last November. I had the privilege last October to have lunch with Sam Solon. And Sam Solon was talking with me and my wife and Lanny and others. And as we were there, all of a sudden Sam's looking at me and we said something about shame. And I said, man, that reminds me of my father. And he said, have you ever publicly forgiven your father? And I said, yeah, that was my exact answer. And so he goes, Obviously, you haven't. Why don't you do that right now? So I publicly forgive my dad for stuff that had happened. And then Sam begins looking at me, and it's like he's looking right past me, but yet into me. And I'm going, what? And then he says, "Be gone." I'm like, "Who are you talking to?" And then he says, "Be gone." And at that moment, I felt my chest get tight, and I felt a strangulation around my throat, my trachea, and began to have difficulty breathing. And then he says, "I see you trying to wrap around his throat. Be gone and go to Tartarus." In that moment, all of a sudden, I was free. And the day before, my wife had been asking me, "What is so wrong with you? Why are you so ugh?" And I couldn't tell her. I had no idea. But that afternoon, she goes, "Man, you are different this afternoon. Something about you is different." And she was there with us, but she didn't really know what all happened, so I got to share with her what all went on. It's amazing how many things can happen in the same room and you don't even know what's all going on. Many around us right now are bound by things they don't even know. And they're trying to seek freedom from it, but instead of seeking freedom from the Lord Jesus, they're seeking freedom with Satan. They're making a deal with the devil's philosophy, because it's promising them goodness. You see, that's what Satan does. Satan promises good and goodness without God. Did you catch that? It goes back to the very first lie in the Garden of Eden when he said, "Hath God said, hey, God just doesn't want you to be like him. You can eat of this fruit of this tree, this delicious, wonderful fruit, and know good and evil." You can know good without God. God's holding out on you. But Satan, anytime he tries to give us good and goodness without God, it's a hook. It's a trap. It's a deception that leads to divisiveness. It's deception that leads to jealousy, covetousness, anger, rage. And you can see it. Just click on the news. And you can see it all around us. And have you ever felt bound? Have you ever felt something holding on to you that wouldn't let go? Or you felt something calling you to goodness, but it seemed like, it seems to be this good or this good thing or this goodness, but without God. Have you ever felt great, and yet you knew something was wrong and something wasn't right? We are seeing this all around us today. And it's Satan's oldest lie, and it's his current lie. He offers us good and goodness without God. Satan offers people power. He offers people even the power to heal. But the power he offers is always for self-glory or for personal gain instead of power and the benefit of others. In Acts chapter 8, we're not going to read all these passages today, but just want to hit a few of them and just want you to think about it. In Acts chapter 8, you had Simon the sorcerer. It said that this man is, they said about him, that this man is the power of God that is called great. He didn't know God. But that's what they said because of what he was able to do, the magic that he worked. And he gave people this hope of healing, this hope of power, but without Jesus Christ. And we know that Simon was deceived and he wanted these things for power and for self-glory because he believes in Jesus Christ, but then when he sees the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what does he try to do? He tries to buy it. We see also Bar-Jesus in Acts chapter 13. Elymas, magician, sorcerer. Now, this guy, because have you ever wondered how do smart people end up following such craziness? Right? And have you ever thought to yourself, I'm too smart to fall for something? Anybody else ever think that? I think I'm pretty smart sometimes. And then I fall for something and it's like, ah. You know, we go, how do smart people fall for some of these things? Well, it says Bar-Jesus, he had such influence of the proconsul of Cyprus over Sergius Paulus. And listen to what the words the Bible says about Sergius Paulus. It says that he was a man of intelligence. Sergius Paulus was not a dumb dude. He was not some hick. Well, we won't talk about hicks because I grew up on a farm, so, you know, hey. He wasn't somebody who didn't know. He wasn't some backwards guy. He was the proconsul of Cyprus. He knew his stuff. He was an intelligent guy. And yet it says that Bar-Jesus had manipulated him and had control over him. And when Paul was trying to preach the gospel, what did he do? He tried to put his influence on there to make it so Sergius Paulus would not believe. Now, the cool part of that story is Paul finally says, hey, stop it, and he blinds the guy. And it's like, what? And Sergius Paulus ends up believing. But you see, instead of promoting harmony and peace, witchcraft, the lies of Satan always spread terror, superstition, division, envy, and confusion. And that is a quote from a pastor. I can't say his name because it's in a different language and I don't want to butcher the guy. But I'll put it up on Facebook afterwards, the link to this article. It's from the Africa the Gospel Coalition, and he's talking about witchcraft, spiritual powers, and new life in Jesus Christ. And he says that it always brings this destruction. It always brings division. And while supposedly promoting life, Satan always brings lies because he is the father of lies. His lies always bring death and not life. They promise life. Isn't that what he did in the garden? He promised them life. But instead of life, they got... Why would we think today would be any different? But smart people are susceptible to believing Satan's lies as any of us. I have this article from the Huffington Post from, I believe it was 9/24. I'll put this link up too. It says, the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg pushed me to join the Satanic Temple. You're like, what? I'm a 40-something attorney and mother who lives in a quiet neighborhood with a yard and a garage full of scooters and soccer balls. I'm not the type of person who would normally consider becoming a Satanist, but these are not normal times. You're like, wait, what? Stuff like that's happening? Yeah. The deception that Satan is putting out there is real. And you read the seven tenets of the tabernacle, the satanic, satanic tabernacle, temple. And they sound almost reasonable at first glance. But you know what? With them, there's always a hook. There's always a catch. Instead of leading to peace and harmony, it always leads to destruction. It leads to envy. It leads to jealousy. It leads to me trying to get above you and to push you down to lift me up. Because you get to the root of the tenets, even though it says, oh, I only do what will be good if it doesn't hurt you. In order for you to do what's really good for you, you always end up. Jesus said to give our life, just as he gave his life for a ransom for many, and not to try to build ourselves up. So, the question is, what can we do to free people from demons, deception, disease, and death? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you would please turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Do, 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 do. We're going to see here, first of all, things you just don't have to deal with inside, the wind blowing the pages on you, you know. It says, then they sailed, verse 26, to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. It's almost like effects, right? And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at his feet, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And isn't that amazing? I'll just take this then. Will this be better? Okay, back up. Gotcha. All right. And he was healed. And the people surrounding there were just completely amazed. So Jesus does this, and he heals a man from the demons. He heals him from the oppression that he was facing. And that's what we have the power of today. We're going to get to this in a moment. But Jesus heals this guy. He just tells the demons to leave, and they have to. They leave. They have no power. You see, that's the crazy thing about Satan. Satan really has no power except what we give him. We gave away dominion in the garden, and God, through Jesus Christ, gives it back to us. We have dominion. All power, Jesus says, is given to me. All power. He also has the power over demons. And Jesus has the power over deception and disease. I love this. Because the three stories go right hand in hand. It says, now when Jesus returned, if you look at verse 40, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. This woman had spent all of her money trying to be healed. Think about that. As a type 1 diabetic, I can appreciate it because we do a HSA with a high deductible insurance. Within the first month, my high deductible is met. Just like that. All it takes is $1,200 of insulin, $1,200 for a, where's that thing at? It's on here somewhere. My continuous glucose monitor, and $1,200 for my insulin pump supplies. Just like that, it's met. This woman for 12 years spent everything she had to be healed. And those around her told her, probably told her what? There's no hope. And matter of fact, she would be shunned by society. According to Old Testament law, she was supposed to not be around anybody. She wasn't especially supposed to touch anybody. Anybody touched her, they would be unclean. She was supposed to say she was unclean. But instead, what does she do?
Yeah, I love this.
She could not be healed by anyone. Verse 44, she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. She was unclean. Anytime somebody unclean touched somebody clean, the clean person would become, except this is Jesus we're talking about. So when she touches him, she becomes clean. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who is it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in his presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So Jesus has this power over demons. He has the power over disease. And he also has power over, yeah, you guessed it, it's another D. He has the power over death. Verse 48. While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter in with him, except Peter and James and John, and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they all laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something be given to her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what happened. So we see in these passages Jesus having the power over demons, disease, and death. So what does that have to do with us? Well, immediately after that, in Luke chapter 9, in verse 1, he says, "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." Do you guys catch that? This is before the Holy Spirit comes upon them. This is before they are new creations in Christ. This is still under Old Testament covenant. And Jesus says, "You will have power. You are going to have power over all demons and cure diseases." And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And verse 6 says, "And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." And then in Luke 10, he says it again. He calls out the 72 and he tells them to go out and preach the gospel. "Heal the sick," it says in verse 10:9, "and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." And verse 17, the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Whew. That's kind of awesome, isn't it? Now he tells us in Acts chapter 1 that he's going to give us the Holy Spirit. We're going to have the power to do these same things and even greater things than these, Jesus says. But I want you to pay attention to what it says in verses 17 through 20. Again, the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." That's pretty awesome. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, I say Satan fell like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Think about that. This is what he's saying to the disciples, and this is what he's saying to us. All power, all authority, all the power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. That's what Jesus gives us. Just as Sam had the power to free me, you have the power to free others from the darkness that they are walking in, or the deception that they are walking in. Jesus told Paul in Acts, we read it in Acts 26, when Paul is giving his testimony, it says that Jesus called him to open their eyes. How many of you pray Jesus open somebody's eyes? Yep. Jesus told Paul, open their eyes. Say, what? Why? Because we have been given all power and authority over the enemy, over darkness. We're not supposed to live in defeat. We're not supposed to live in fear of these things. We're supposed to live in victory over these things, and to help the blind to see, to help those who are deceived to see the light, to see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the best thing that we can give them, now this is really important, because sometimes we can get caught up in, oh man, I want to be able to cast out a demon, or I want to be able to, you know, help somebody be healed, or I want to see somebody raised from the dead, and that would be really cool and really exciting. But Satan does those type of things too, doesn't he? Reading through the article about witchcraft, people get healed with witchcraft. They even claim resurrections of the dead. In the book of Revelation, it says, one, the beast will have appeared to be dead, but will a head wound of death, but then will come again to life. What's the biggest difference? You see, Satan is the great imitator. Satan cannot create. Satan can only imitate. Satan cannot create. He can only imitate. Matter of fact, my wife was reading this morning how the 144,000 will be sealed with the name of God on their forehead, with the seal of God. Who else tries to put a seal on people? Satan tries with the mark of the beast, right? Why? Because he only can imitate. He can't create. And the biggest difference, when we give people and we preach the freedom in Jesus Christ, and when we help deliver people from the bondage of demons and the bondage of sin and the bondage of deception, listen to this. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not... What? Anybody know this passage by heart? Come on, it's a great one. No? I didn't either, so that's okay. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you catch it? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That is the biggest thing that we can give anybody. Is yes, to help open their eyes to the deception that is around them, and the deceit and the lie that Satan can give them things, but it's always with a catch. But when Jesus gives us stuff, he gives us eternal life. He gives us a place to live with the Father forever. He gives us the freedom over sin, over disease, and over death. He brings us to a place where he shall wipe away all tears and not bring tears. He brings us a place where the eternal temple of God will be built, and he will walk with us and be our God, and we shall be his people. You see, if I know my name is written in the book of life, if I know that I have an eternal home with the Father, what do I have to fear? And then I can walk with boldness. Then I can pray for people to be free from the bonds of Satan and sin and death. I can cast down and I can lift up. Jesus says we can bind and we can loose. Last verse we're going to look at is Luke 11, 21 through 26. They had accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebul. And Jesus says you can't do that because any kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Then he says in verse 21, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks, and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Now this may surprise you, but because Christ is in you, you're stronger than the strong man. Not you, but Christ in you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about knowing Jesus. It's all about living for Jesus. It's all about lifting Jesus up. It's all about him. And the strong man in us is greater than the strong man around us. And when we see people in this world who are held in the bondage of sin, and Satan wants to keep his hold on it, he wants to keep his tentacles into them, he wants to keep them believing those lies, we have the power to expose those things, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we are called this week to pray, to break or to bind the spirits of sin, or of witchcraft, of deception, of violence and hate. And you know what? We can. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can bind the strong man and set the captives free. All of his spoils and all the people that he has deceived, we are called to go out there and reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In power, in authority, and love. You see, Satan comes with demons, deception, disease, and death. But we come in the power of the Holy Spirit, health, hope, and love. That's what we get to loose. Because it's not just about binding, it's about loosing. Loosing the Holy Spirit, loosing the angels, loosing the spirit of truth, the spirit of joy, the spirit of love to all those around us. This morning, if you are bound by something, I encourage you to ask someone to pray with you. Because where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. And whatsoever you shall bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you need healing, there should be the number on the bottom of the screen somewhere sometime on this. If not live, when it's rebroadcast. Can't remember it off the top of my head. It's on my phone, but I'm afraid if I lift my phone, my papers will blow away. But that's what Jesus wants for us. And you know what's great? Is that can happen in the phygital world. I love that expression I heard the other day. The physical and digital world which we live in, we're phygital right now, right? We're physically here, but yet there's digitally people watching us. Oh, I'm done now. Thank you. You're awesome, Brandon. But think about that. Somebody could be praying with you over the phone, and the Holy Spirit covers all of the earth. And so you could be fidgetily with two or three gathered together. If you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for hope, if you need prayer for love to be loosed into your life, if you need prayer that you will see and hear and know the truth, call that number. Pray with someone. Seek the face of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your amazing grace and love. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we have eternal life. And we can freely give that to all those around us. We can give faith, hope, and love because you are faith, hope, and love. Amen. Okay.
We're going to start a time of communion right now. And this is going to be, can you guys hear me? Is this better? Yay! I can hear that better too. Awesome. We're going to be doing a time of communion now. So at home, have your elements ready because we're going to be moving into this here. If you don't have any elements, just raise your hand and Tim will come bring them to you. We've had some prophetic activity that's going on this morning here today. And if it's here, operative for us here on site, it's also operative for you at home, wherever you are right now. And so we're gonna lean into this time. The Lord brought forward that there's an anointing here today for something. And in the context of what's going on here, God is coming after the spirit of fear. And for some of us, we might recognize that we've been functioning in a spirit of fear. Some of us might realize that this thing has crept in over these past however many months. We've been going through this coronavirus thing, but it's not just that. There's all this other stuff that's going on in the world right now, and there's a spirit of fear that has settled in, and we're going to combat that this morning, okay? Because God has not called us to a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And he's given us the power and the authority to be on the attack, to be on the offense, not to be back on our heels on the defense like we spoke about earlier this morning. But he has given us the power and authority to be on the offensive. And he wants to replace that spirit of fear with a spirit of love, joy, and thanksgiving. Because he's called us to celebrate in the midst of the onslaught. Because we know the victory is his, and we are his. So, Steve, I'd like you to come back up here. Steve, do you have elements this morning? Perfect. Okay. Steve is going to be praying for you. So if you recognize that you've been just either plagued by a spirit of fear or you just feel like there's something there that just keeps haunting you, I'd ask you to stand, whether you're here on site or you're at home. And don't be bashful about it. Don't feel like, oh, everybody's going to look at me. If you've recognized that there's fear that's been going on in your life, just stand up right now where you are, because we're not going to be able to lay hands on you right now. But we're going to pray in agreement with you and the Lord that he's going to deliver you from that spirit of fear, and that he's going to replace that with a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, mm-hmm. and that you're going to operate in joy and thanksgiving in the midst of this season that we're in. So, Steve, as the bearer of the word this morning, I ask you to pray over our people here and at home.
Fire.
The blood of Jesus breaks every chain, folks. We're celebrating communion right now. His body was broken for you. His blood was poured out for you. And we know in Revelation, they overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Father, be with those right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind the spirit of fear that wants us to cower, that wants us to believe that there is no hope, that wants us to believe that things cannot be turned around in our life, that people will never trust you, that there is no hope for their situation. But Father, we praise you that you give us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, I bring that upon those folks who are standing right now. We loose that spirit upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. And in the authority of his love, in the authority of his grace, Lord, we see the Father do these things. We see the Father reach out to us. So, Lord, we reach out in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would fill their hearts with thanksgiving and praise. Because it is by praise and glorifying you with our lives that our faith is made strong. Lord, give them a spirit of praise. Give them a spirit of thanksgiving. As your Holy Spirit fills them, may the angels surround them and sing with them by your glory and grace. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I command the spirit of fear to go.
Spirit of fear, we command you to leave. Leave these people. Leave this place. Lord, those who are watching right now, may they know that the spirit of fear is gone. He has no authority in their life because all authority has been given in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray this. It's in his name we say this. It's under his anointing and authority that you have given us. And Lord, may they not rejoice that the spirit of fear is gone so much as that they rejoice that your spirit is with them. Yes. That you are near them. And you will comfort them. For you are the great physician, the great healer, the great comforter, the lover of our souls and our friend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take and eat and drink in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Steve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when Steve was speaking here and he was finishing up, I was reminded just some of the words he was using of David speaking to Goliath. He says, "You come with a sword and a spear, but I come in the name of the Lord." There's a battle that's raging around us. But you have the victory because the authority and the power that is in you is greater than what is in the earth. Know who you are. Know whose you are. And recognize that you are called to this time. I invite you into this week with us as we're coming after the spirit of witchcraft, deception, confusion, division that has been raging rampant. God is raising up his people in this time as a counterattack to this offensive. God will have his victory. He will have his victory. Be fasting and praying with us. We're going to do another video this Thursday night. If we can make it happen on Thursday night, right, Mary? If you haven't watched what Mary shared on Friday, I'd encourage you to go back, watch the YouTube, watch the Facebook. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. So I invite you to go back and review that and be prepared for this Thursday. Ask the Lord, what is it, Lord, do you want me fasting and praying about this week? But let's join together. God is doing a work, and we get to be a part of it right now. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for all that are here today. I thank you for everyone who's here online with us right now, Lord. We ask for your blessings and your peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We'll see you guys soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.